your host, Scott Ledger.
Welcome in, Buck fans. Only halfway through the week. Time again for more Buccaneers Total Access. Remember, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Buccaneers Total Access coming your way. And I was trying to think of a way to intro you. And I said, I was thinking the only guy that can really rock pink stockings on the NFL playing field and get away with it and actually pull it off. Akeem Talib, good to see you, man.
Appreciate you having me on, man.
Yeah, let's get to that. You know, you get a face mask, a chin guards, gloves, towels, everything but. And you, and I was like, man, as soon as you ran on the field, I was like, I just nodded yes to myself, like, yeah, I see you doing that. Was that your decision? How did that come about?
Yeah, it was my decision, just, you know, trying to show my support for the breast cancer awareness and my own little swag, you know what I'm saying?
You said a big swag. That's a big swag. You know, because I can't picture Donald Penn running out.
You know what I mean?
DP can't do that.
Yeah, exactly. There's certain people that just can't do it. Congratulations, man. How's it feel to be on a 3-1 ball club?
It feel good, man, just to get out the gates. 3 early wins. Can't complain.
Well, it's your third year. You've been, you know, last year you started 0-7 before you even saw a win. This year, you know, it's still a young football team. I mean, you're in the third year, and you're like, you're getting to be one of the older guys on the team.
Right, right. I kind of feel like one of the older guys walking around here, but I mean, that's kind of how it go, man. When you start a program from scratch, you know what I'm saying? We kind of started over, so that's how it go. The young guys got to be the old guys.
Bucks use one of the first times, or I think the only time they really used a first round draft pick to go after corners when they got you. And, you know, they brought you in here, and then you hear all the shutdown corner, you know, all these big phrases, you know, the Asamoah, this guy, he's our this guy, he's our that guy. And then the first year, you know, flashes. Second year, consistency, I think this is the third year, is really most veterans when they start to really start to expect to bring their game to another level. Is that what you're thinking this year?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do going into the season, you know, just plays after plays. That's what I go into the game just thinking. Got to make these plays, you know.
Yeah, well, you're a corner, and corners have that different attitude. Like, you know, you got to shake off a bad play, but then again, if you make a good play, it's kind of like, you know, whatever I didn't do well, I'm going to forget about whatever I did well. Kind of bolsters my confidence. You're out on an island. You've heard all the cliches and the football lingo. You know, this is technically your fourth game last week, but you had to go through that suspension. We'll get to that in a second, but you know, 3 picks in 3 weeks. I'm looking at your life on paper here, by the way. You had 5 last year, and of course you had 4 as a rookie. So do you have any personal goals when it comes to how many are you going to bring in?
Definitely. Every year since I've been playing football, the goal is more than what I did last year. So if I'm playing for the same team, I just got to do more than what I've done last year. I got better. Evidently, I got better. If I had more interceptions than I had last year, I got a little bit better that year.
Last year you guys had the Jim Bates, I call it the Jim Bates experiment, like this first 7-8 weeks.
Yeah.
Guys were kind of turning your back and running, and then, you know, just a completely different system. You know, obviously,
I don't have to ask you what you thought about it.
You just commented. It definitely was an experiment. It was different.
Yeah.
It was a lot different, but I don't know. It kind of has some positives to it. I mean, you definitely learn how to play man coverage in Bates system, so it got you comfortable on the line of scrimmage. So, I mean, that's what I got from it.
That's kind of where I'm going with it. Last year, you guys kind of turned it around at defense when your head coach took over the play calling, and then he didn't exactly go back to just your basic old-school Monty Kiffin kind of defense. But
right.
He's, ever since the middle of last year, we took it over into game 4 this year. There's really been you're just seeing more and more things. You guys are doing more blitzing. There's a lot more going on. But I wanted to ask you about, you know, when they come to you and they say, okay, here's our game plan, it's Thursday morning, we're going to be looking at the New Orleans Saints, are they just saying, okay, you and Colston, all right, you're done? Is that the kind of responsibilities you're being handed now? Is it still?
I mean, it's not like you and T.O., you play him and y'all done. Mm-hmm. It ain't like that, but it's just like you're going to be on T.O.'s side, so whatever coverage we run, you know what I'm saying, if you the deep defender on that side, man, that's your matchup. Or we playing man, you already on this side, that's who you guarding. So it's not like you versus him and y'all out the game plan, you just take care of him. Now, we still play the coverages. I still play the coverages in whatever I call, you know what I'm saying? But it's just to a certain extent, I'm just going to be on in front of that guy.
Well, you're not at the place, you know, when, you know, you're looking at the number one every week.
Right.
I mean, yeah, now you're grinning again. See, we've got to make sure the people on the radio realize that you're starting to grin because that's that corner in you that just loves the challenge, doesn't it?
Definitely, man. That's what I want to do. Every team we play, whoever they calling their best wide out, you know what I'm saying, that's who I want to guard. You know what I'm saying? Whether you beat me, I beat you, somebody going to win. That's just the guy I want. That's the guy. If I lose, that's the guy I want to beat me.
Gotcha. Now, the perfect successful days, you shut them out. No catches.
Definitely.
Not even, you know, they don't even get looked at. They're so covered.
Oh, yeah.
All right. But what's a good day covering a number one for you? What's a good day?
A good day covering a number one in this league.
Because they're going to get a couple.
Right. They're going to catch the ball. I say, keep them out the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
And you make a couple plays.
You made one last game. We'll get to that.
Right.
But let's go back a little bit. You had a chance in the offseason to take care of the legal issues, but the NFL said, you know, we're going to let you sit out a game to think about it more. First of all, the timing. I really don't understand why that didn't happen last year. It seemed like, you know, it almost like mm-hmm. the NFL was waiting to punish you because they knew last year was kind of a wash, and they figured if they take the first game away from you, did it sting more that to you? Rather, let's say it was
right,
game definitely. 14 last yeah. year. You know what I mean?
I would have rather set out game 14 last
sure.
year than on a brand new season, brand new slate.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Don't know what's in store for this team, and I can't even be a part of the first game. So I definitely would have rather set out.
Everybody's any played sports ever had to sit out, whether it's a suspension or an ankle injury or a groin pull. It's,
right.
You know, I know Jeff Fain's going to go up for the next 6-7 weeks, and he's going to be chomping at the bit wanting to get in there and play and contribute. So that had to be a tough week for you.
Crazy, man. Just watching the game, you know, coaching from where I was watching the game, as you know, just it's crazy, man. Just something you'll never want to be a part of.
And you weren't even allowed to be in the locker room after the fact. I think it was like till Monday or Tuesday,
right.
the official day of X. But
right.
I'm sure the text, once the game was over, it was like, congratulations, buddy.
Yeah, a lot
you
of texts.
That
you know
kind of stuff.
Exactly. Just celebrating like I wanted, you know what I'm saying? So, like I was a part of it. I really was a part of it. Really wasn't a part of it, but I was a part of it. So, I mean, I was the happiest guy I was.
You want to know? Your teammates are 1-0. That means you're 1-0.
Exactly.
Now we go to Carolina, team that's giving us some trouble running the ball. They still got some yardage on the ground, but mm-hmm. then again, this is where you start to show up. You know, every week, you know, Massaquoi week one, if you were there, and this week it's Steve Smith. And I know we're going back a little bit of time, but we didn't have a chance to talk to you. So how was that Carolina game for you? It must have been fun.
It was definitely a lot of fun. Road games always a lot of fun. Guys like Steve Smith always a lot of fun. Came out of there with a win, so, you know.
You do some jawing with him? He's a jaw. You had to be some jawing.
Yeah, Steve a jaw, but, I mean, I don't think as much as people think, though. You know what I'm saying?
He's talking. I see him talking. What's he saying?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it was as much talking going on in that game as I think people might have think. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but now he knows you. You know him.
I mean,
3 or 4 years ago, that was Rondé's gig.
Yeah.
Now it's your gig.
Yeah, I mean, we exchanged words during the game, but just nothing major. Nothing really.
All right, now we fast forward to the Pittsburgh game. Cody Grimm, and we'll talk about him because I know you get to play with him. And
yeah.
We're all excited to see this young rookie really show and shine. But and that's a tough game, man. 2 or 3, you know, you had the tip pass in the end zone. You pull that
mm-hmm.
down. That's almost – it's at least a 7-point swing, maybe 14 if we take
right.
it the other way and go, that type of thing. That had to be a little frustrating game to play on defense because it's not like the scoreboard really reflected the game.
Right. That's how we felt as a defense. We felt like a couple early plays – in that game, specifically the 2 deep balls,
mm-hmm.
and that's a whole another ball game. We don't know what the fourth quarter going to hold for us. If Cody bring the 1 interception down, I bring 1 of those interceptions down, I mean, it could be a whole different ball game. Just, we felt as defense, we just left too many opportunities out there. We just, you know what I'm saying, ain't cash in on all the ops that we had, so... That's how the scoreboard look when you leave all them ops out there.
Ronnie started with a couple of picks. You've got 3 back-to-back. 9 overall, by the way, the Buccaneers. 8 of those 9 are actually from the defensive backs. There's only 1 interception that's not from a defensive back. So you guys have a chance, by the way, to break these singles. I mean, if you stay on pace, I'm mm-hmm. sure you're going to want to,
right.
to break the single-season interception record. I want to talk more about this in depth, but right now we're having a little problem stopping a run, and we're not exactly getting sacks. But the way I see it in the football team, it's almost like, I got your back right now.
Right.
You guys are having a little trouble. DBs are starting to step up and say, you know, we're going to carry you till you get it figured out, that kind of thing. And then someday there's going to be a pass rush and you're going to be back there.
You know, right.
You're going to have an easy day at the office kind of thing. So it seems to be that the DBs, and I know your head coach used to be your DB coach, there's a lot of pride in that room, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of pride in that room on scoring and getting the ball back. And, I mean, out of the first four games, we got a touchdown, we got 8 interceptions. So we definitely scoring and getting the ball back. So, man, that's our goal. That's what we pride ourselves on. That's what we out here doing.
There was a game within the game. We'll get to that when we come back. You guys get on the phone lines and talk to Aqib Talib. We'll take your phone calls till 7 o'clock. That is, of course, when this show ends. Don't forget Josh Freeman's show tomorrow night. Congratulations to Josh, by the way. NFC Offensive Player of the Week. That has a lot to do with that last 90 seconds, as a matter of fact. This guy's got four fourth quarter comebacks. He's almost leveled out his record. I think he's 6-7 as a starter. You guys are 5-2 in your last seven games. This ship's starting to turn around. People are starting to notice this young football team making plays. Here's your numbers. Hillsboro 813-990-4620. Pinellas at 727-461-4620. And 1-800-596-BUCKS, number 25. The greatness and the man, the only man that can pull out pink stockings in the NFL is Aqib Talib. And he's sitting down answering your phone calls, and we're talking Buck Ball. Coming back right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Buccaneers Total Access returns on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of the Buccaneers.
Welcome back. It is Buccaneers Total Access Wednesday night, led side by side with number 25, third year cornerback out of Kansas, Aqib Talib. Three picks, last three games, well on his way to his single season mark of five. You had a three-pick game against Washington last year.
Yes, I did.
That was a fun game to watch.
Man, all we needed was a W.
You skied for one. I don't know. It looked like you came down on your tailbone. So, you know, some of those times you give up the body on those picks, don't you?
You got to. Hey, whatever it takes to bring that ball down, man, you got to get it done.
Ready to talk to some of your fans?
Yes, sir.
Well, let's do this. John, you're on standby. We're coming to you next. We're going to Anthony, actually out there, I believe, in Lawton, Oklahoma. Is that where you're at, Anthony? Anthony.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there you are. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
Excellent. You're on with Aqib.
Hey, man, first off, man, how's it going, Aqib, man?
It's going good, man. How you doing?
Man, I named my son after you, man. That just lets you know how good of a player I think that you are.
There's about two of us in this world now.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But before I put my football comment out there, I first, you know, I mean, just out of respect, you know, I mean, me being, you know, I think the truest Buck fan there is in this world, you know what I'm saying? I was kind of upset with, you know, Tanar Jackson, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, how in the world, you know, could you do this, you know what I mean? This is the year, you know, we got everything, all the pieces in place, we got the pass rush, and then just out of nowhere, you know, it happened. But then I started to think as a human being, you know, that, you know, that's, Tanard as a human, you know, we don't know what he's going through in his life, you know. So first of all, you know what I mean, everybody, you know, kind of pray for him, you know what I mean, instead of being upset with him, you know, because we don't know what he was going through and all of that. But I know I ain't got much time, but I just wanted to put that out there, you know, to everybody, you know, be with Tanard, man. You know, he's our brother out there, man. You know what I mean? So let's be with him and not be critical of him, because we know we all make mistakes, you know what I'm saying? And Cody Graham, we know he's going to hold it down, you know, until he gets back out there. You know what I'm saying? But the question I have for, you know, well, I'm not sure it's both a question, but basically just, you know, words of comfort, man. Aqib Talib, man, I saw you kind of down on that Pittsburgh game. You know, I have no way of watching y'all except unless I go on Buccaneers.com. That's the only way I can even see y'all. I see none of y'all games, you know what I'm saying? But they do know I'm keeping up everything that's going on. But Aqib, man, you look like you kind of down after that fluke play, man, you know what I'm saying? I just want to let you know that you by far are the best corner in the league, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you had maybe two or three fluke plays throughout your whole career that resulted in all the Sports Center touchdowns, that the only thing that they show of you, which is all flukes. I just want you to know, man, keep your head up, man, you know what I'm saying? Tanard ain't there. We need you to anchor down, you know what I'm saying? Be the best player that you can. Freeman got your back, you know what I'm saying? Moore's got your back, you know what I'm saying? Gerald McCoy from OU, you know what I'm saying? Trust me, he got your back. You know what I'm saying? I just wish the best to y'all. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It's time to man up. I'm tired of all these people talking all this trash about the Bucks saying this and the Bucks saying that, when I'm knowing that my boys, you know what I'm saying, are capable of winning the Super Bowl every year if it ain't for all these flukes. You know what I mean? So, I mean, this is y'all year. You know what I'm saying? Not to put pressure on y'all or nothing like that, but it's just the way
no
it
pressure,
is, man.
We're not feeling it, Anthony. We're not feeling it. But I appreciate the phone call. Good. You know,
appreciate
Anthony,
it.
Anthony needs a talk show.
Yeah, he does.
Anthony definitely needs a talk show.
Definitely, a Buck show.
But let me tell you, you know, the thing is, you know, I heard passion there. I heard a ton of passion. I heard a guy was ripping Buck players off about the top of his head.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, what he's talking about.
They went to, you know, that's a hardcore fan. That's not the guy that's ever going to give up the ship. You got to love that.
You got to love that, man. Guy who loves his Bucks, man.
Well, you know, and real quick, you know, Tanard, and anybody's ever met Tanard, by the way, Great guy.
Yep.
Super great guy. So, yeah, yeah. Pray for Tenard, and he'll turn his life around, and we'll worry about Tenard Jackson at the beginning of next year. But let's talk a little bit about Cody Graham. Yes. I mean, this is a young kid that's asked to step in a starting position. Mm-hmm. And other than that one real play in Pittsburgh, I mean, the rest of that Pittsburgh game, he's all over the place, blowing up, you know, up at the line of scrimmage.
Definitely.
And in this last game, obviously he's got the pick six. So talk about that. But talk about him overall, man.
Man, yeah. I think a couple guys, Jimmy Lay, you know, Coach Stoogie, you know, Ryan Day, kind of seen it in training camp. Like, man, who is this dude, man? Like,
just squatty little white guy running around.
Right. Just, man, you think he was a, you know, some chef or something? You see him out here?
Yeah.
Hey, just awareness. He know how to play football and know what's going on the football field and put himself in positions to make plays. That's what he. That's what he do.
And your scheme, actually, that was a great call down by, you know, you got them backed up under five.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like he's maybe, you know, coming off the edge. He mm-hmm. backs into that little flat. He's there for a pick. I mean, that makes him look like he's, because he actually turned and ran backwards and made that pick. But
right.
That was a defensive call, wasn't it?
Right, definitely a call where he was cutting up under the receiver on my side.
Ocho? Was it Ocho?
No, it was T.O.
It was T.O., okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was definitely a call. Set him up, man. Carson threw it right to him, you know what I'm saying? Cody get all the credit, but Rod the one who dialed it up, man. You know what I'm saying? Cody just had to cash in on another opportunity, like I said. So Cody cashed in on the opportunity, 7 points.
Yeah, he ran in the end zone. What'd you say to him after he scored his touchdown?
I don't remember what I said to him. I know I was pretty excited for him, though.
He said, give me that ball. You know, that's locked in a safe somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. He made sure he got that ball, though.
Hey, by the way, for everybody that does listen to our show every night, by the way, we'll have a full hour with Cody Graham on Friday night on Total Access. But, you know, getting back to the D, really, you know, in the second half of this game, again, you're having problems. Cedric Benson's a beast at running back. You know, he's going to get his yards, and it looked like you had your little back on your heels. And then you step up, undercut a route. And that ball could have easily just been caught as the pick you made, but it looks like you just wanted it more than the wide receiver. I mean,
man,
tell me about it.
I don't know. Just was in a little three deep. He ran like a little curl, kind of rolled into it like a little curl. Carson threw it a little bit behind him, man. It was just an opportunity out there to make that play in a crucial part of the game, you know. So, so I just had to try and get that play, you know what I'm saying? So I was able to break on it, get the interception, man, put our offense in a good position to score.
Were you surprised they threw on third down?
I really was surprised. I definitely was expecting a run and a punt on that third down. So I don't know. I'm not a coach. I'm not their coach. They make their own decision. So that's their coach wanted to be aggressive, and I guess that's what happened to him.
You give Josh Freeman the ball. These are about midfield, about 50.
Yeah,
right
about on the 50.
Right on 50 yard. Josh, it's a beautiful back corner throw to Mike Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next throw is the deep ball.
Mm-hmm.
Is the deep ball. And by the way, stand by, John. We're coming to you. We just want to cover this comeback a little bit here. And beautiful catch by Mike Williams. Now, I know. Now, Josh played. Let me see. Josh came out as a junior. So did you play against him at all in college? Because you were Kansas, he was at K-State.
Yeah, definitely. I played against Josh 2 years.
Okay. Yeah, so you've seen his arm.
Mm-hmm, definitely seen his arm.
Yeah. Do you think he's not being respected in the NFL yet?
I mean, I hear his name a lot on the NFL prime times, the sports centers. They slowly starting to mention his name. I mean, you got to do a lot in this league to get respect. I mean, you don't come out and win five and seven and think you're going to get all the credit in the world. So, I mean, he getting his credit where it's due. I mean, and as times come, people will definitely see about Josh.
You getting tired of facing him in practice?
Seeing him for 5 years. Yeah, I done seen him. I done seen him since 2005. You know, so I know all about his arm.
I was just going to say, you got all his tell signs. You're like, you're starting to read him before you can read him.
I already know. I know about his arm, but eventually, the world to know about Josh Freeman.
That is Aqib Talib, our guest tonight. Here's the numbers, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. Mike, you're on deck. Stand by. We're coming to you. But, John, you're up next with Aqib Talib. Welcome to the program.
How's it going, Scott? How's it going, Talib?
What's going on, man?
Going good, man. I got, like, a question, kind of like a comment. My question is, I know you got 12 picks and all, man, but when you plan on taking one back to the house?
I know, I do. I'm overdue. I know. I don't ever think I went 12 straight picks without bringing one back for a touchdown since I started playing football, man. So just know that pick to the crib, it's coming soon, baby.
I got you. My comment is, tell them offensive players, we need some touchdown dances, man.
All right. Yeah, we got to get our swag right. We got to get Cody right, too. Cody, touchdown dance was kind of suspect. We're going to get him right.
I got you, man. Have a good one.
All right, now, John.
That's good. Yeah, he kind of just ran through the end zone real quick. But, if I'm Mike Williams, I'd work on some moves or something. He's already got three.
Yeah, I know. He got a little T-no, you know what I'm saying? The T and the no, you know what I'm saying? He had to kind of see where he was coming from with it. It was like a T-no, you know what I'm saying? So he had a little thought behind it.
Yeah, I noticed here you had 13 picks in college, 322 yards in returns.
Right. I got the record at Kansas.
Yeah. So how many of those did you actually take to pay dirt?
Three.
So, it's been a dry spell, huh?
Dry spell, I know. Crazy dry spell. I got to get in the end zone, though, man. I got a pretty good dance in my...
Okay. Right. That's what I'm thinking about. All right, Mike, you are up next with Aqib Talib. Welcome to the show. Mike.
Hey. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we got you, bro. We got you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Hey, how's it going, fellas?
What's going on?
All right. Yeah. The question I had for you: What defensive back did you try to model your game after? And who do you think you're playing like right now?
Oh man, I don't know. I want to say. Of course, everybody try to model their game after Deion, but he really just can't do it. You know what I'm saying? So. Growing up, I always was, when I'm playing football, I always was Deion. Deion, get a pick. Deion, you know what I'm saying? So I say that's what I try to model my game like, but you really can't do it. And I don't really know what I'm playing like, man. Kind of trying to make a name for my own self, man. So,
that was my point. I done looked at your game, and, I mean, you more equipped, in my opinion, than Deion. But, that's later on down the road, another story, but.
Yeah.
And also, I want to go ahead and tell you, man, defense, these guys, they feeding off you, man. Your swag, your style, everything.
Yeah.
That energy of that defense, man, I mean, myself, I kid into you. You know what I'm saying? And congratulations, my 3-1.
I appreciate it, baby.
All right.
Let me ask you, man, you said you can't compare yourself to Deion. Tell me why.
Because Deion just had that unnatural speed that cover up.
Bad technique.
Anything you wanted to cover up. But then on top of that, he had technique. So, I mean, you rarely see people who can do it all, man. Deion, to me, in my eyes, Deion was one of the few corners in the league who can do it all. I mean, you take out, they say he couldn't tackle. I seen him flip Jerome Bettis. I seen him, you know what I'm saying? When he had to tackle, I seen him come up and smack people's legs and get them on the ground real easy. You know what I'm saying? So, he ain't really... put himself in positions that I'm going to tackle you all the time, but when he had to tackle somebody, I feel like he tackled him.
Corners, wide receivers are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, so right. Obviously even Myron Lewis, I want to ask you about the rookie, came in. He's got like these long, freaky arms. He's got the body. How's he progressing? And, I don't want to say where does he have to work on his game, but, what is it more technique with him right now, or is it just confidence? Because the position you play is so much about confidence.
Right, I think it's just repetitions with him. Just as more he keep on playing against Reddish Ben, Mike Will, you know what I'm saying, Stroh, and you know what I'm saying, Young Briscoe. He keep on playing against them caliber receivers in practice. He just learned like this professional receiver just repetitions on going against professional receivers, you know what I'm saying? And right now, I mean, he having a whole lot of good reps right now in practice. I mean, so I think it's just the more he play and more he practices, the better he'll get.
Rondy said in August he believes when you look around the DB room, it's probably the deepest set of athletes we've ever had. We've usually had one or two guys, but now we're three or four deep at corner. And now I want to ask you about Beggars, too, because he's really come on.
Right.
And he is playing with a swagger, and he plays with confidence. And did that just start in preseason? Because he had a great preseason, too. Mm-hmm. Does that go back to OTAs? When did he really step up?
I mean, it kind of go back to when he got healthy. He kind of came in healthy with that shoulder. He had the shoulder all last year, so he came in OTA this year with a little chip on his shoulder, like trying to show everybody he can play. Like, man, I was hurt all last year. people think I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Maybe thinking whatever they want to think about me because I missed the whole season as a rookie. Came in with a little chip on the shoulder, man, and ain't stopped since OTA.
And it was in the second half that Carson Palmer tested him on a deep ball, and he was right there and broke up the pass.
Great play, man. Yes, great play on that deep ball.
Yep. And then let's talk about Savvy. We're talking about all the DBs, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Sean Jones goes down, he's got back spasms, runs out. First play or second play, Savvy comes running in.
First play.
Had to play the whole game, and he comes up with a pick at the end of the game.
Right.
You know, because he's been down. You know this sport.
Right.
And, you know, he's one of your teammates, everybody.
Right.
Who doesn't?
You want to play.
Absolutely. Exactly. So, you know, tell me what it was like. Were you on that big pile? I saw a lot of bodies in the big pile.
No, I wasn't actually on the pile. I was close enough to it, though, man. But it was really excited for Sav, just, you know what I'm saying? Step in, have a solid game, solid tackling game, and to make the biggest play of the fourth, you know what I'm saying? The last pick that set us up for the go-ahead score, you know what I'm saying? So we were really excited for Sav. It was just good, you know what I'm saying?
But not just to make the pick, though. Did you really have the wherewithal where he was on the field? Because you guys do I've seen you run the drills in practice with, as soon as the ball's tipped, everybody's head's on a swivel, and suddenly you're a blocker.
Right.
And you're kind of like you were just talking about taking to the house. You know, you're thinking, okay, am I taking this left? Because a lot of it has to do with where the play ran, correct?
Right.
I mean,
right.
You know, and he was smart enough to take it to the sideline. Guys, mm-hmm. like 30, 35 yards on a return.
Exactly. And got us in, like I said, good field position where Johnson come out. Throw a great pass.
Did you expect that pass or a run?
I expected a...
Because we didn't have any timeouts, so...
Right, I expected a shorter pass, something, you know what I'm saying, something that they was kind of giving us, maybe like, I don't know, just a shorter pass close to the sideline, but definitely didn't expect no deep 22-yard comeback or nothing like that. Definitely didn't expect that.
That's the arm where I was asking about a little bit earlier, because that was on a dime. And then,
on
of course,
a dime.
And talk about Michael Spurlock, too. I saw him in the locker room today. You know, this was a guy who's always the kick returner.
Right.
But he's really starting to step up as a wideout, isn't he?
Yeah, man, that's all he do is be a part of game-winning touchdowns, man. Game-winning plays, man. That's all Spurlock do, you know.
I asked him about the pink gloves and the pink cleats. You know, because normally I think you have to either give those back or he says, no, those are going up on the mantle.
Yeah.
He said the gloves are going up on it. And Cody Grimm, I think even the television broadcast talked about Cody's gloves and all.
Right.
You have to explain that to his kids in 20 years.
Yeah, you can find a way to sneak your own gloves out if you really want to, you know.
Oh, there's a way there? You gonna keep your socks?
Yeah, the socks. They got a hole in them. I ripped the knee out of them, so, man, they ain't no good no more.
So you get them one game. Did you just pick the game you're gonna do it, or you don't do it for the whole month, or do you?
I mean, well, I know for us, I know we got last game and we got this New Orleans game as well.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna have to. Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, I got the wristband right there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
The breast cancer awareness, of course, is what we're talking about. That's why everybody's baseball does it earlier in the season because not all the teams are in October. They're going to play baseball, so you'll see them do it earlier in the season, but the NFL actually does it there. We're going to go back to the phones. Phil, I appreciate you hanging on. Buddy, you are up next with Aqib Talib on Buccaneers Total Access. Welcome.
Hey, guys, what's up? Ledge, how you doing?
Doing good.
And Mr. Aqib Talib, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, Phil. How you doing?
Awesome. I just want to say thanks to your producer for putting me back on the line. I talked to Josh Freeman a couple of weeks ago. I have a few comments and a question, but 2 years ago, I think I met your mom at the Dallas game. I was there, and those Dallas people were heckling her because I think they didn't believe that was your mom. So I don't know if it was your mom or not, but I gave her some love. I just want to let you know. You are by far my favorite DB. I was a defensive back in my days, but my question to you is, when you're in the study room studying film with the team or with your, you know, squad, could you describe to us fans how it is? Is it intense, emotional? Do you guys joke around? Are you guys really key on specific plays and how many times they do it in that formation? I really want to kind of be in this total access thing with you guys. I'm out here in San Diego rooting for you guys. So
right.
I'm a diehard fan, and I hate the Chargers. And they always talk, you know, BS to you about you guys. So you got a true fan out here. And, again, you know, I got a California burrito when you come down here. And one more thing, Led, I know Ledge, you know Israel. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting him yet, but let him know he has another true fan out here. And
you guys need to find each other. You guys,
right.
Yeah,
no,
you need
no
to look
kidding,
each other
no
up,
kidding.
Phil. Start yourself
no
a Buccaneer fan club with two people in it out there.
Absolutely. And you know what? You know, I ran a little bar out here in North County, and I got another Tampa Bay fan. He was wearing a Keeves jersey on that game last Sunday.
Okay.
So I'm growing it, guys. I got some love for you guys out here. But I just want to say good luck with the Saints. I think you guys could do it. You guys did it last year. But definitely keep it up, man. You do have a swagger, and I'll be looking for that pick and show me that touchdown dance you're talking about.
All right, I got
it. All right, man, Phil, but he asked about the DB room.
And
mention your coach, Jimmy, like, you know, mention.
It's like, I mean, it's not like we be in the meeting rooms, like.
Well, what's it like after a loss? Let's do both. What's it like after
win or loss? It's not like we're in there taking the SAT test or something, like everyone all quiet. You know, it's not like that. We grown men. At the same time, we at work, you know. We're going to laugh. We're going to have fun in there. And at the same time, when Jimmy Lake up there, he going to tell us what we need to know. You know what I'm saying? Pre-game, he going to tell us their favorite route concepts. You know what I'm saying? What they like to do on third down, down and distance. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Guys in there, some guys take notes. I'm not a real big note taker. I'd rather sit and listen to Jimmy Lake and you know what I'm saying, take it in like that. If I'm taking notes, I feel like I ain't listening right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So everybody kind of got their own style on how they in the meeting room, but to really answer his question, we grown man. It's kind of like, you know what I'm saying, we at work, Jimmy Lake up there getting his point across to us. It was wrote down on the boards. He go over it verbally. However you want to learn it, just learn it. You know what I'm saying? We're going to go outside. We're going to walk through it. Then we're going to go in practice. We're going to do it again. So however you want to learn it, just learn it. So, I mean, we have fun with it.
You watched the film on Monday, and when you watched Cody get the pick six.
Right. I mean, he heard jokes from everybody. He heard jokes about putting the ball on the back of his head. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He heard some compliments. Good play, Cody. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know if he'd do the Heisman. I don't know if he'd
nah.
look good in the Heisman.
I don't know. We're going to find something with Cody. We're going to find him. He's going to have something because he's going to get in the touch. He's going to get in the end zone again, man, because he got that awareness.
You got a 9 picks for this Tampa Bay Buccaneer defense. They are, by the way, tied for second in that, and their plus giveaway-takeaway ratio is still a 4 because they have coughed it up a couple times on the carpet. When we come back, it's JC and Kyle. We'll get to you guys first. We got a couple of lines. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. 1-800-596-BUCKS. It's Aqib Talib and Ledge. It is Wednesday night. The Bucks getting ready. We'll, of course, be talking in the second half of this hour a lot about that guy named Drew Brees and guys like Colston. Wow, they got a few wide receivers that we're going to have to be talking about. But come on back for the second half of Total Access right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
You're listening to Buccaneers Total Access. This is 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
Second half of Buccaneers Total Access. Don't forget, Friday night we'll sit down with Cody Graham, as a matter of fact. And, of course, every Thursday night, tomorrow night, Josh Freeman Show, NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Hit that shoulder pass to Williams about 20, through the touchdown pass, and then again throws in 3 passes, gained about 60 yards of offense in a whopping 20 seconds and got 10 points from his football team. Sometimes those awards go out to guys who rack up 400 yards and 3 touchdowns, but, you know, when you pull your team basically out of defeat with 3 stellar throws, and like I said, in the last 90 seconds of a football game, how big was that for you? I mean, I know you've been on this team 3 years now, but so many young guys on this team to get, A, back-to-back road wins, but that's a comeback win. You normally don't see young teams do that.
Right. I mean, that's kind of the first step on being a good team. I mean, you got to win on the road. Sometimes you got to win in the fourth quarter. You know what I'm saying? The easy blowout wins at home, them the easy ones. Man.
Yeah, but that's the ones we love.
Yeah, them the ones that we love,
don't
too.
Don't take those away from us.
Right, them the ones that we love, too. But, man, hopefully them the easy ones. We're going to try to make those the easy ones, man. It's the road games, the tough fourth quarter. Got to keep on playing 60 minutes. If you can win those, learn how to win those games, man, then you can win any game.
You got it. Aqib Talib is our guest tonight on Buccaneers Total Access. We are going straight back to the phones. We've got open lines, by the way, Hillsboro 813-990-4620. We can get you right in there. Or Pinellas 727-461-4620. JC in Land O'Lakes, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Aqib. It's really nice talking to you. Hey, I got a question. There's a big interstate rival game at Memorial Stadium Thursday night. You know about that, right?
Yes, sir.
I got one question I want to hang up and listen. Is there any, like, trash talking or any bets going on between you and Coach? Let me know.
Nah,
free, too.
Yeah, free. It's just a lot of trash talking. More between me and Free, you know, Free. We fresh out. Rod got a lot on his plate. I don't even know if Rod know the game going on Thursday. But me and Free, yeah, we definitely been talking about it all week. You know what I'm saying? We ain't no bets or nothing like that, but definitely a lot of trash talking going on.
You obviously play football in an SEC state. You know, you hear about it all the time. It's everywhere all the time. And every time I get a guy on his plate, you know, whether it's Pac-10 or where you come from, I always give them a chance to brag on their teams or divisions or anything that's doing well, because it's the only way you guys are going to get respect, because you're not going to get covered in the media. You're just not going to get any coverage.
Right.
So tell me about your squad back there, good, bad, and different, transition year.
Yeah, it's kind of a transition year from KU. I mean, they got a whole new coaching staff, you know. Coach Gill, he don't really have none of his recruits. Not taking none away from the players he got there now, but those guys may have been recruited to play a different type of style. Then he play a different, run a different type of offense
that's
than he runs.
That's difficult to do,
you know?
Man.
Yeah, so I mean, he kind of
happened with different teams.
He kind of installing his offense, his defense with some players who he didn't bring there. So it's kind of a build
year.
Yeah, take a little time. I mean, he could use some of the players. He can adjust, but I mean, he got to get some of his recruits in there so he could really see what Coach Gill can do. You know, so I mean, it's kind of a transition year, but ain't no time to transition, man. Guys got to get 6 wins, get to a bowl game, man. That's a pretty good year.
That's what matters. Absolutely. If you're going to get any type of decent recruiting, you at least got to be
right.
Getting the bowl games for sure.
Definitely.
You know, let's talk a little bit about Drew Brees. Had a chance to talk to him on the conference call today, and I asked him, I said, do you feel like you have a bullseye on your back? Because you win a Super Bowl, mm-hmm. Everybody gets up for you, except you guys get up for him anyway. You got to play twice a year anyway,
yeah.
So you guys kind of don't count. But he did say that. Even Sean Payton said the same thing. And you know, we do feel a little bit more intensity from other teams. So here we are. We're 3-1. They're coming in at 3-2. You know, it was almost like that Cleveland game was a big game for a young squad to have to make a statement.
Right.
I think this is your next statement game right here.
Right, definitely. Playing the champs, you know, Drew Brees, you know, Colston, the Calvary.
Meach,
you know what I'm saying? I can keep on going. You know what I'm saying? Sean Payton, he right with him, so... I mean, it's a South game for us. It's a division game. It's a South game for us. So we get up for all the South games. And just this time, we 3-1, they 3-2, and it's just that more. It's just that much more big for us.
Cleveland had a power running game. Steelers power running game. Panthers power running game. Cincy, you know, they got a back, but they're still technically more known for throwing the football.
Right.
Obviously, what's going on, but now. They're banged up at running back, the Saints, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, but, you know, and you talked about Deion making tackles, and that's why I want to kind of bring it in, that, you know, run support from our corners is such a cornerstone of this defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, between the tackles, that's those other 7 guys. They got to worry about what's going on in there, and you know, but you still got to stop the run first. Doesn't matter if it's Drew Brees or anybody else.
Right, man. If you don't stop that run, then, man, you're never gonna stop those points from going up on the board. I mean, that's kind of where it started. Is running the football and a lot of stuff come off the run. So I mean, we started the beginning of the week definitely off priding ourselves on stopping this run. We got to stop this run, kind of make a team one dimensional. Then you got a chance.
That's Keep Tlaib. I'm Ledge. It's Buccaneers Total Access Wednesday night. We got Daniel and Brian on the phone. We're coming right back to you. But let's talk about Drew Brees. Last year he had 7 different receivers that had 35 or more catches.
Mm-hmm.
That's spreading the ball around.
Right.
You know, that's not about one receiver that, you know, you have to worry about. Or
right.
Randy Moss that stretches the field kind of a guy. That's guys running precise routes.
Yep.
And a quarterback with a quick release.
Quick release. And
that's a tough day for you guys.
And a system that everybody over there believe in, man. Never heard a complaint over there from somebody not getting the ball or anything, man. Them guys just put their pads on. Whatever Sean Payton calls, them guys run it, and they do it good. And Drew, he run the show, man. Get the ball out of his hands. He probably got the highest completion percentage in the league, you know what I'm saying? Every game is 22 for 28, you know what I'm saying, or something like that. He So, I mean, it's just a real good offensive system over there.
Smart guy with a football. He's not, right. You know, he's going to – and the funny thing is he just seems to go through his progression. Sometimes I see younger quarterbacks take a while to go through him.
Right.
He seems to go through him twice before he throws the ball.
Right. I mean, he always knows where his check down is. So he don't force a lot of balls, man. He'll check the ball down and let his running backs do their thing. He'll do that in a heartbeat. So
make it a little easier that there's no Reggie Bush, or that doesn't matter really to you guys?
Oh, definitely a lot easier, man. Yeah. It's almost impossible to play man coverage on the Saints when they got Reggie Bush out there, you know. But he's just a mismatch waiting to happen, you know. So at least you can play a little bit of man coverage against those guys when Reggie Bush is not there. So, man, it definitely makes it a lot easier playing against them guys without
Reggie. He's, you know, not as known as a banger in between the tackles, but you get him out there. It's kind of like our Winslow.
Right. He's a game match. He's a game plan changer. I mean, you game plan around that guy, man. If you don't, he'll kill you. So, I mean, his stats might not, you know what I'm saying, blow the roof off every year, but every game when the teams play the Saints, they start with Reggie Bush.
That's Aqib Talib. I'm Wedge, Buccaneers Total Access. Brian, you're on deck. We're coming right to you. Daniel, you're up next. How you doing this evening, Daniel?
I'm doing fine.
Excellent. Welcome
to
the program.
How you doing, Aqib?
I'm good, Dan. How you doing?
I want to ask you a good question. I've been watching the Bucs since 76. I've seen you play. I love the way you play. Do you feel this is your year for the Pro Bowl?
I should have been asking that question. Sorry about that.
He did. I
don't know, Daniel. Way to get my back, bro.
Right, definitely, man. I think this is the year that the Bucs, we can go to playoffs, you know, win.
I believe that. The way y'all are playing, I told my wife, I said, the defense is coming around so good, it looks like the 2002 defense.
Right, man. We just stay out there, continue to make plays, man. We get to the playoffs, man, and a lot of guys on our defense will be able to make the Pro Bowl because, I mean, That's how you get to the Pro Bowl with a winning team and the best stats off that winning team. Those are guys who are gonna go to the Pro Bowl.
All right, we're going right back to the phones. Actually, got two open lines. One in Hillsboro, 813-990-4620, and one in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Brian, you're up with Aqib Talib. How you doing tonight, Brian?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good.
Great. Appreciate you calling.
Hey, I got a question. Going into this season, before the season started, most people seem to be predicting the Bucs weren't going to do very good this year. Did that help motivate you guys to prove everybody wrong and get off to this good start?
Right. Definitely. It definitely did, man. I mean, anytime someone say you can't do something, you always want to prove them wrong. I mean, but they could have predicted us to go 16-0, and I mean, we still would have been motivated to come out here and show you that we're going to do it, you know. So, I mean, it's our job to come out here and win games. So, no matter what people say about us, man, just know we are here preparing to win on Sunday.
It's not that you guys spend a lot of time reading the paper, but when Peter King predicts you're going to win two games and you win two, and Rondi Barber says, hey, tell Peter King we got our two wins, we're moving on. All kinds of, you know, it's called bulletin board material. That's
right.
What they used to call it, you know. Mm-hmm. That's why you guys always have to watch what you say about other players
right.
nowadays. Because,
right.
You know, in the world of Twitter and tweeting and everything else, Aqib Talib might just PO the New Orleans Saints. So
right.
I realize you got to kind of, you know,
tread
lightly.
Right. They'll hear about 8 o'clock tonight if I say something.
So, you know, when you go into a game like this, you know, you guys were down 17 points on the road to them last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't look good. And you find a way to make a play, and then we get a special teams touchdown to mm-hmm. tie that game. It just seems teams in this league either do one of two things. They either find a way to lose a game,
mm-hmm.
like you did in the Steeler game, or you find a way to win the game like you did in the Cincy game.
Exactly.
And what is it about this young football team that seems to be doing the latter? Because you normally don't see that in young teams. You usually see them stubbing their toe, and they go, yeah, they found a way to lose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they found another way to lose. Is it the coaching? Is it
I mean, it's
a little bit of everything.
Yeah, we got guys who, I mean, we're a young football team, but we got guys who got game experience, you know what I mean? We got guys who play. I've been playing since I got here in 08, you know what I'm saying? So I've been in the game before.
33 games. You played 33 games.
Right. I mean, we got guys who, look at our old line. They played a ton of games. They sell starters. I mean, a lot of games under their belt, you know. Kellen Winslow, you know what I'm saying? He got a ton of games under his belt, you know. I mean, so we got guys who played in the game before, so it's not like we're just all babies out here. We're young in our age, but, I mean, football years is like, you know what I'm saying, it's different. Football years start like when you start playing. You could be 35 years old, and if you just start playing football, you're a baby. You know what I'm saying? No matter how old you is, really. So, I mean, we got guys who been in the game before, so.
You wouldn't have to knock on wood, having too many problems with the injuries. Some other guys seem snake-bit by injuries throughout the career. Mo Stovall's another guy. Mm-hmm. Once in a while, he's just when you feel he's stepping up. Last year, had a great relationship with Josh towards the end, made some big downfield catches. This year, he's just been nicked by injuries. You guys, for the most part, in the defensive backfield, other than a suspension, that's a different animal altogether. You guys have found a way to stay healthy, but I see you guys throwing your body around a lot. So is it just if you play not to get hurt? Isn't that how you get hurt?
Yeah, it's kind of I don't know. Me in football, I just kind of never think about injuries. I just play football. I mean, if it happens. It happens, but I think when you get to thinking about it, that's when it happens. You know what I'm saying? So, me personally, I just play like injuries is not a part of the game. I don't worry about it.
And, ignore them.
Right, I just ignore it and try to act like, you know what I'm saying, it can't happen. Like, that's just how I play the game.
You're getting ahead of a Terrell Owens if you're getting ahead of an Ocho Cinco. And I saw them turning their heads yesterday and dropping balls.
Right.
Is that the intimidation of a defense, or is that just the wide receiver a little too impatient?
I mean, it's kind of both. I mean, you got them guys, like, trying to catch the ball and hurry up and go upfield. They're trying to make plays, but at the same time, when they watch tape on us and they watch us play, the teams we played the week before, they see a lot of good licks. You know what I'm saying? They see, see people getting hit, come across
the
middle.
Head on
the
swivel. Head on the swivel.
Yeah, they see people come across the middle and getting tagged. You know what I'm saying? So. It's definitely being guy back of guy's mind, man. When I go across the middle, these bucks going to hit you. So
now
it's kind of streaks, both of them together.
Rondé seems to get his picks in streaks. You had a 3-pick game last year against the Redskins, but this year, I mean, you're going to be breaking your single season mark. I mean, and, you had 5 last year. You had 4 as a rookie. You've already got 3 coming in. And since get the ball back, as every time I interview a guy on your defense, it's like y'all
scoring, get the ball back.
There it is.
Gotta preach it.
Yeah. This team in a Super Bowl year, I think, I don't want to quote it off the top of my head, but I believe they had 6 touchdowns. I think there was 1 in the Super Bowl that was made it 7 that the defense scored, or is either 7 and 8.
I think Brooks might have had.
Brooks had 1 in
5 or 6 itself, so I don't know.
Is there a pertinent with the point I'm getting is this defense, are they aware of the single season mark of scooping scores and picks and pick
I mean,
six?
I don't know. Maybe everybody probably not aware of it now. You start talking about that when you get to like week 8 and you got 3 touchdowns or 4 touchdowns, like, oh, we almost there. So, I mean, right now, it's just kind of just out the gate. We started hot. Now it's at the point where we just have to, let's keep it going, Mark. Once we keep it going and we get close to it, that's when everybody will know the record. Everybody will know. And then
a little extra motivation.
Right, extra motivation. You know what I'm saying?
Rondé Barber, what did you say to him after the Cleveland game where he kind of ran out of gas? I know you didn't get a chance to play him. I haven't had a chance to ask you about that because, he's the older statesman on this team. He's got a great sense of humor.
Right.
He realized, but what did you say?
We all gave him. I don't remember exactly what I said, but, he heard a lot of jokes in that meeting room. He definitely heard a lot of jokes in that meeting room for running out of gas on that.
Well, if you don't score, it's why. It's not going to be you running out of gas.
Not definitely not.
It's going to be because you went off the wrong hip of a block or something like that.
It better be something like that. I made the wrong decision to try to cut across the field when I should have stayed near sideline or something like that if I don't score. Hopefully.
All right. Well, we're going to hit a break here, but I'm really hoping to see A, the score, B, the dance, and that real quiet dome. when you get a chance if you don't do it here. Sean Payton is the type of guy you got to respect, but he's also the guy that called a double reverse with Reggie Bush and then ended up costing the game. So you also had a coach last week that threw the ball maybe when you should run, but it still comes down to the 11 guys versus the 11 guys, doesn't it?
Definitely. Come down to
Mike Williams, perfect example.
Right. Come down to
he goes
Mike deep. Williams versus Joseph, you know what I'm saying? That was for the game right there. So, definitely comes down to the players, man. The coaches set you up, put you in position, but it's up to the guys to make all the plays.
That's exactly what we need to remember always. It's all about playmakers, making plays. Mike Williams, by the way, 3 touchdowns, leads all rookies, all other rookie wide receivers in the league. All other 27 wideouts taken before him or after him have tallied 1 touchdown so far in the NFL. Mike Williams has 3. We're coming back. We'll finish it up with a key plea. Don't forget Josh Freeman tomorrow night, NFC Offensive Player of the Week. And, yeah, Cody Grimm, rookie at safety, gets his first pick 6, and we'll sit him down for an hour conversation. We'll find out what football is like in the Grimm household, especially with Halloween right around the corner. That'll be an interesting conversation. All right, guys, stick around. It's Legend of Key Tlaib coming back right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Buccaneers Total Access returns on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of the Buccaneers.
All right, guys, don't forget, Buccaneers Total Access returns for Friday. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, that's when we rotate different players in. Every Tuesday, it's Gerald McCoy's show, and Thursday, tomorrow night, the Josh Freeman show. And again, Cody Grimm will be our guest. You got a couple minutes right here to talk about anything you want. Let me ask you, in your third year, is your career moving slowly? Is time flying by for you? How's it feel?
I feel like it's flying by, man. What's today? October, whatever, 13th, 2010, and it felt like I just got drafted this year, like this April. I mean, those 3 years definitely flew by.
Now, when you get to the peak of your career, that's a combination of still being in your best shape and really just knowing the X's and O's in the back of your head. What is that for a corner? Fourth year, fifth year, third year? See where I'm getting?
Yeah. I know, I say...
Daryl Green's a perfect example of guy played forever. Rondé Barber's guy is playing forever.
It kind
of
matters who the guy is. I mean, some guys hit their peak and you know, burn out early. Some guys hit their peak later and play a lot longer. Some guys hit their peak early and play longer. I mean, it just kind of matters who the guy is.
Want to be a Buck your whole career?
Definitely. Don't want to go nowhere. Making a couple adjustments to my house. Don't got no intentions of going nowhere.
Well, it's nice to see guys like Asamoah and your friend or your compadre, I should say, up there in the New York Jets getting some big paychecks for playing your position. They've certainly bumped it up a few notches.
Set the standard.
Did you send them a thank you note when they get those contracts?
Every DB in the world should have sent them a thank you note.
Did you send them some flowers? Daryl Revis, thank you for my new house. I don't have it yet.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's you know, I know the CBA is an issue that comes and goes, but you know, you guys make a good pretty penny for what you get to do out there, and that's essentially play a kid's game. Mm-hmm. You seem to be now in your third year. You seem to have some more gratitude for what's going on around you.
Right, definitely, man. I just being in the league for 3 years, man, seeing my life how it changed since I've been in the league, man. Couldn't ask for nothing different, man. I just love waking up in the morning, man. Just love waking up, love my job. I could wear some Jordan shorts and a muscle shirt to work if I want every day, you know, man. Can't complain. Take care of my mom like she's my daughter, you know what I'm saying? So I just couldn't complain about nothing, man, right now in life.
All right, good show, man. We're done.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me on.
You got to go get pick number 4, and let's take it to the house. I want to see that dance.
All right, I got you.
All right, Akeem Tlaib, everybody. Appreciate the phone calls. This has been Buccaneers Total Access. Thanks to Jerry Petock in the studio. We'll talk to you again tomorrow night right here on the Buccaneer Radio Network.
Listening to Buccaneers Total Access.